Before the preaching of the word, I have one request of you. Please, when I announce verses, chapters, and books of the Bible, the text to read, please see them. Please look at them with your own eyes and your own Bible. And this is so that you may understand me more clearly. I do have a Mexican accent. I do have an American wife that has tried for 6 years to teach me how to speak clearly, and I'm learning. But actually, you know, it's not all my fault. It's actually the university's fault for putting me with my first year trying to learn English. The first year, the computer put me with a roommate from Cyprus. And obviously, he spoke with an English accent. And then the other roommate was from Pennsylvania, and the other one was from Georgia. And everyone told me, you know, a different accent to pronounce. I said, well, the second year I will learn. Second year, my roommate was from Nigeria and Virginia. So it was worst. And then my last year as a student, I attended a small church in Charon Drive with a pastor from Northern Ireland who kept correcting our English. I don't know who that is. Maybe his last name starts with C. Oh, please read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15 with me, the first 10 verses. After the reading of this passage, I will ask you to stand up and pray with me. Luke 15 and the first 10 verses, I will read them to you, and please follow as I read. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost? I think this is the most beautiful verse in the whole Bible, this last phrase. Until he find it, and when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise yours shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Will you please stand up and let us pray unto the Lord that He will bless this time of worship and preaching of the Word of God. Let's pray. Everybody praying. It's the last Sunday of this year. Let us pray honestly, sincerely before God that He will bless our souls. Our Father, we are so thankful that we are alive. That we are alive this Sunday. That we are alive in Christ. That you have given us salvation. So many blessings that we can have in Him. Well, Lord, we pray with the psalmist this morning. Save Thy people. Bless Thy people. Oh, Lord, lift up Your people. Feed Your people. We thank You for the Word of God. that we can have in our hands. And we recognize, O Lord, that unless You help us and open our hearts and open our ears, everything that we say this morning will be in vain. Please, O Lord, help us. If I speak, that I may speak as the Word of God. If I minister, that I may minister with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us sit down. Luke chapter 15. And this chapter, O Lord, tells us three stories. The story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son. All the stories, obviously, have to do with lost things. But also, in the three of them, we have another common denominator. Verse 6, Luke 15. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 9. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me. Also, verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all thy have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. The other common denominator is joy, gladness, felicity, and finding the lost. Now this morning, we will consider some lessons of this truth based on the words of our Lord registered for us in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And four main points will guide our study. The first one, the kind of joy that results when a sinner repents. The second one, the quantity of sinners who repented. The third one, the kind of person who repented. And the last one, the cause of the joy. First of all, then, let us consider the kind of joy that results when a sinner repents. Our verse says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And also in verse 7 it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. It is heavenly joy. It is a celestial joy. It is divine happiness. Now this is very, very difficult for us to grasp. It is truly a mystery. Could you imagine with me 100% pure, holy, complete, heavenly joy? Now the mystery for me is, how is it possible in heaven where there's this kind of joy always, eternal felicity, how is it possible that God who is completely satisfying, how is it possible that He could rejoice more? This is a mystery. But it is true. And it teaches us, number one, that God desires the salvation of the sinner. God desires the salvation of the sinner. Look with me, Ezekiel 33:11. One of those great verses of the Bible. Everybody should know this verse, especially the preachers. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure. He desires, he wishes the salvation, the repentance of the sinner, that the sinner may turn from his evil ways. Just like in the story of the lost son, or the story of the prodigal son, the father desired the return of the son. You can almost see him going to the fence every day. And the Bible says, when he saw him afar off, he ran. I can see him in the fence every day, going to see every week, every month, where is my son? Oh, that he will come back to me. The same way, this joy teaches us that God desires the salvation of the sinner. This heavenly joy also teaches us that God rejoices in the salvation of the sinner. Now I want to underline that it is God who rejoices, not only His angels, but God. God is not a force, a supercomputer without feelings or emotions. Have you ever noticed Isaiah 62? And read with me. Actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It talks in these verses about the same lesson. And look how the pastor, the shepherd, looks and looks until he finds the sheep. Isaiah 62:1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighted in thee, and thy land shall be merry. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Also Zephaniah 3:17. The Word of God says in this verse, Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. How could he not but rejoice? A repentant sinner is the fruit of the affliction of his Son. A repentant sinner means the salvation of the sinner. You see, your problem is not lack of money. Your problem is not lack of education. Your problem is not lack of time or health. It doesn't say that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that gets healed. The problem is that you need repentance to be saved. Now, don't misunderstand me. Take your vitamins. Take your extra antioxidants. Take your medicines and your Prozac. But friend, without Christ, your problem is your sin, your transgression of God's law. You have to repent. You repent, God will rejoice, because that means your salvation. Now let us go on to the second main point. The quantity of sinners who repenteth. Luke 15 and verse 10. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Not 10. Not 100. Not 1,000. But one sinner. Now this clearly teaches us, first of all, that the soul of one sinner is of infinite value. The soul of one sinner is of infinite value. What price tag would you assign to a soul? Infinite value. No region of Mexico, there had been a series of kidnappings. Some paid the ransom and were released. Others have died. Now, I'm not rich. One time it occurred to me, what if they kidnap my daughter? What if they kidnap my American daughter, Alejandra? How much would I be willing to pay? $1 million? $5 million? $100 million? $1 billion? I will beg the world $1 trillion, all the money in the world for my daughter. There's no way that we can assign a price tag to the soul of a person. The soul of one sinner is of great value. Man is made in the image of God. The soul of one repentant sinner has been bought by the blood of Christ. Of course, it is of infinite value. Therefore, brethren, your work, your labor to guide a sinner to repentance is worth it. No matter how difficult, no matter how expensive, no matter how long it takes, it's worth it. You probably have heard of the missionary. 9, 10 years laboring just for one soul. Was it worth it? Yes, it was. And also, brethren, you do not know what God can do with one soul. Don't be discouraged if you have been able to see just one soul as the fruit of your labors. Andrew, we don't know, but Andrew, in the Bible it is registered that he only led Peter to the Savior. Just Peter. And with holy reverence, may I suggest, it may be that just Andrew, probably not. He probably preached many times. But if Andrew had died afterwards, just with one sinner in his life, He was what? He was Peter, who Christ and God used in the book of Acts to preach those great sermons. Thousands of souls were saved. Don't be discouraged for your labors with one soul. This truth also teaches us that the salvation of every sinner is carefully observed by God. Don't think that God is not aware of your repentance. God personally guides, supervises, monitors your repentance. Even before you were born, God knew about you. And in His pleasure, guided everything so that you may repent. And lastly, this truth teaches us that any circumstance is worthwhile if it aids, if it helps in the repentance of one sinner. Any circumstance. I do appreciate the tapes that the church gives to me and the ministry of the tapes. One time before the preaching of God's Word, I think it was in 1992, Pastor Kearns was telling you about an accident in Northern Ireland, a coach accident. I imagine that has to do with a bus. And Esther, a lady died. She was the only one saved in her family. She married a Christian man. And she died in this accident. I don't know the circumstances. The death, obviously, is a very sad and tragic circumstance, especially for the young lady. But how did I rejoice listening how Pastor Kearns told you about how the parents of this lady came to the light, and all that darkness came to know the Savior. I, when I was a very young boy, lost my mother when I was 11, 12 years old. And she died. My father had 6 children, and I was the eldest. My sister was 2-3 years old. All those problems in the beginning, obviously, we couldn't believe it. How is it possible? Throughout the days, throughout the years, I can testify God used those very tragic circumstances for the repentance of at least one sinner. My grandmother had to come and live with us. She was a very, very strong Catholic. Many years, 60, 70 years. We pray for her. She listened as we read the gospel and had all devotionals. We pray and pray. I had to come to the university and study and continue to pray. And one night I got a phone call from my father. Your grandmother has come to the salvation and paid the gospel. Was it worth it? It was. It was. Our third main point has to do with the kind of person that repenteth and caused such joy. Please listen carefully. The kind of person that repenteth and caused such joy. Our verse says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. One sinner. Now, what is a sinner? Well, look it with me in the context. Luke 15 and verse 2. Our Lord tells us these three stories in the context of the Pharisees and scribes murmuring, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord told us this story, defending Himself against this charge. So, when our Lord said sinner in verse 10, the connotation has to do with sinners in verse 2. Now, to understand this better, see with me Luke 7 and verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. This is another Pharisee in the same book. Luke 7 and verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he will eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had beaten him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. She is a prostitute. She is a woman of the city. She is unclean. She is depraved, impure, immoral. This is the kind of persons that cause such joy. In this church, in this congregation, I learned to love 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And I'm going to read to you in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6. And verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And the most blessed phrase, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Of our Lord God. Fornicators. Idolaters. Adulterers. Effeminates. Abusers of themselves, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, prostitutes, drug addicts, and we can go on and on and on, and this is the kind of persons that cause such great joy if they repent. Our last point has to do with the cause of the joy. The cause. What caused, what kindled, what originated such pure, heavenly, incredible, mysterious joy? Well, look in your Bibles and see if it says the same as in mine. Luke 15 and verse 10. I do have a King James Version. Let's see if your Bible says the same as in mine. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that comes to church. No? Over one sinner that becomes a member of the church. No. Okay, over one sinner that becomes a Calvinist. No. Over one sinner that gets baptized. Over one sinner that gives a lot of offerings. No. It is over one sinner that repents. In the words of Ezekiel 33:11, it's one that turns from his way. One that turns back. A repentant sinner is one that hates his sin, one that goes the other way. No more stealing, no more screaming at your wife or kids, no more hating, no more. You fill the blank. Now please listen to me very, very carefully. Repentance is not perfection. It doesn't say over a perfect sinner. It says a sinner that repents. Present, continual action, constant endeavor. Based on the news of the day, our Lord Jesus Christ says in Luke 13, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the other Galileans because they suffer such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except you repent, I like better the marginal reading, except ye are repentant, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is not perfection. Repentance is not reformation. You can reform your ways without being repentant. One time the doctor tells you, if you continue to smoke, you will die in the day you leave your cigarette. Not because you have repented, but because you are scared of death. You can stop drinking. You can have your devotionals every morning at 5:30 and not be repentant. You can cut your hair and wear a tie on Sunday and actually be not repentant. No, don't misunderstand me. You can reform without being repentant. But you cannot be repentant without reformation. What is repentance? I think the best definition of repentance is the one by Augustus Toplady, the one that wrote Rock of Ages. He says, repentance is a gift of God that produces sorrow after a godly sort, self-indignation, great desire of forgiveness, a zeal for holiness, and a revenge and hate of sin. That is repentance. That is what causes such great joy. Now let me conclude with some practical questions for you. And please, let your conscience answer me. What is it that causes most joy in your life? What is it that really makes you happy? What is it that really makes you glad? A promotion in your job, more money, a baseball trophy, a trip overseas, a new car, a new computer, a new house, a new kitchen, or the salvation of one sinner? Let your conscience answer me. Question number two. Have you ever caused joy in heaven? That is, have you ever guided someone to repentance? Ever! This last year happened to me one of the most wonderful things in my whole spiritual life. Alejandra, my daughter, 5 years old, going in the street of Hermosillo downtown. I don't know why. Suddenly she said, Daddy, what happens after one dies? I don't know what causes such question. Maybe she heard the doctors talking about Paquito, or I don't know why. What happens after one dies? had the opportunity of sharing with her, well, if you love God and obey Him and listen to what He says in the gospel and you repent, this is what happens. And if you die without Christ, this is what happens. Days went by, a week, and one night, right before we went to bed, she told me, "Daddy, I want to love God. I want to love God." As a parent, I think this is the most wonderful thing, to be able to see your daughter, your son, coming to repentance. Can you think of any person that you were able to guide in the way of salvation this last year? This one? What about the last 5 years? What about the last 10 years? Can you think of one person? Well, you may say, well, I don't know anybody. You don't have a neighbor? You don't have a student? You don't have a son, a daughter, a relative that is not saved? You may say, well, is that I'm too shy. I'm so shy, I don't know what to say. Read today, John chapter 1. Read how the disciple Philip says, explain to them, he won't listen. He says, come and see. Come and see. That's all he said. Come and see. Bring them. Bring them. You have a privilege of having a church that preaches the gospel every Sunday. Bring them. Tell them, come and see. Bring them. Question number 3, let your conscience answer me. What clear, real evidence do you have that you have really repented and that you will not perish? John the Baptist, his cry and his preaching still echoes until this day. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Do you have real concrete evidence that you are a repentant sinner? Number 4. Do you rejoice in the salvation of the sinner? Tell me, what will happen if next Sunday or the other Sunday afternoon there's a lady coming from the pastor's office? It's a prostitute from downtown Greenville, and she's so happy that she has found the Savior, and she comes out of the Sunday school room. And the first thing she sees is you. She's still stinking and smelling like alcohol and sweat and dirt. All ugly outside. And she comes to you. And she's so happy. The first thing that she wants to do is just to give you a big hug and tell you, I found the Savior. What would you do? When I see real evidence of your salvation, we'll be more than glad to receive you in this church. And please take a shower before you come. You think inside you, I hope that this lady doesn't have AIDS. She spit on me. Ah! What would you do? What would you do? Would you be so happy to see that lady come to Christ? Cry with her and laugh and smile because she has found salvation? Now my last question is, and this is the most important question, what kind of person are you? Are you a sinner? Well, yes, I guess. I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad. I'm not a prostitute. I'm not a drug addict. I don't have earrings in my ears. I'm obviously the man. I have my devotions every day, I think. I always come to church. I have good grades in school. I never watch movies that are rated R, not even PG-13. I'm really, really good. That is your problem. That is your problem. You need no repentance. According to you, you are righteous and just. Be careful. Beware. You see, according to you, you are not a sinner. You are not a liar. You are not a murderer. You are not adulterate. You don't have problems with your lust and passions. You are not covetousness. You are not a materialistic person. You don't have the problems of Romans 7. You are not selfish. You are not. That is the problem. You are not a sinner. Or maybe I'm talking to someone who says, well, yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm so bad. I'm such a big hypocrite. There's no hope for me. In fact, preacher, I have tried to make so many decisions, consecrated my life so many times, but I just can't. I just gave up hope. Friend, don't think that you are too sinful for God. Come to Christ and He will not cast you out. Never. Never. But you say, I don't feel like repenting. Maybe when I get the feeling of getting repentance, I will go to Christ. Friend, come to Christ and come as you are before it's too late. What does that famous hymn say? Just as I am without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me. Come to Christ. Come to Him. Ask Him for repentance. Or maybe this morning, you are a repentant sinner. Then brother, then sister, friend, rejoice. Rejoice. Psalm 118, verse 14, it says, Psalm 118 and verse 14. Psalm 118 and verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. You may not have gotten a lot of Christmas presents. You may feel lonely in this Christmas time. My friend, if you are a repentant sinner, that is the greatest cause and motivation to rejoice at this time. O Lord, Jesus Christ, after He said in Luke 13, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish, tells us another story. And I will finish reading these verses in Luke 13, in verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and saw fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. why cumbereth the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, until I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let it alone this year also. May I suggest to you, will you think honestly, sincerely before God? May not be this your last day. May not be this the last year. Come to Christ. Let's pray.
Let's just still our hearts before God. As we come to the end of this service, has the Lord spoken to you? I believe the Lord has spoken to us all. Make sure today that you refuse not him that speaketh. If you'd like to talk with the preacher, if you're not saved, you want to be saved, there is salvation, God doth say, through the blood. Come to Christ and come today. Repentance always, always leads to Christ. Make sure today that you get to the cross, for it's only there that sin is washed away, only there that you get right with God. Don't leave this meeting yet a sinner. Come, repent and be converted. May God bless his word to every heart. Father in heaven, we rejoice in the grace of repentance. We rejoice that thou hast called sinners to repentance. And we thank thee that there is rejoicing in heaven over one penitent sinner. We pray that there be rejoicing today because of souls seeking Christ in this very place. O God, let not one walk away without Christ. God, save the lost. And Lord, stir the hearts of thy people. We pray that thou wilt give us a great God-like love for sinners, a Christ-like yearning o'er the wicked. Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us grace to seek out the erring one, to lift up the fallen, to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. We pray that thou wilt give good success to that labor and grant that many will be brought to Christ. O God, make this a soul-saving center within a yard of hell. And we pray that men and women on the edge of destruction will here be brought to Christ. We would pray that thou wilt again hear the cry of every godly parent. We think of the young children and the young people in connection with this church, and we pray that not one of them will be lost, that thou wilt search out the straying, and that thou wilt bring the family circle to completion in the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, answer prayer. Give much fruit for the preaching of the Word of God. We thank Thee for it. Lord, we long that there be rejoicing here and in glory as the result of this service today. Hear our prayer. Part us with Thy blessing. Grant that the grace of God our Father, the love that is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion this Lord's Day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.